مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار عباد الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Yeah, inshallah. It is with a high sense of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we commence this year's tafsir, which was started last year here in this August place, with this August gathering in this August month of Ramadan. We thank Allah for everything. If we are to calculate, to enumerate, to take into account Allah's bounties on us, we cannot just do that. Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you are to enumerate and calculate and number Allah's bounties on you, you wouldn't be able to do that. We thank him for everything. We were here last year and our lives have been spared by him to witness yet another Ramadan. Some we are with us last year, but now they are now history. La ilaha illallah. Some died out of sickness, some during childbearing, road accidents, some brutally killed while praying. It comes to our mind our brother Sheikh Jafar Mahmoud Adam. May Allah have mercy on him. And brother Umar Meshiyah in Sokoto and a host of others. But now here you are, spared by Allah, given chance, opportunities, given eyes, power of hearing, seeing, feeling, testing, everything. What are we supposed to do to register our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To disobey him? To commit bad things? No. If Allah's bounties are on you, you should show your thankfulness. The Quran says, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And remember, when your Lord has declared that if you thank me, I am going to increase you incalculably, manifold. But if you turn your back against me, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. My chastisement, my punishment is drastically severe, severely drastic. Today being Wednesday, the first day of Ramadan, 1428, and in brackets, the 12th of September. Is that correct? 2007, CE, Christian era, or AC after Christ, marks the commencement, the beginning of our tafsir in Nurul Islam, hosted by the movement of Islamic culture and awareness, Mica. In this historical city of Kaduna, administrative city for that matter, of northern part of Nigeria. So we ask Allah out of His infinite mercy to uphold us through these Ramadanic sessions, inshallah, and beyond. But before then, there are some few announcements, some introductory remarks to be made. Number one, the tafsir, both of Hausa, which is to start, inshallah, after Al-Iftar, and the one of English just started, they are supposed to be 1 hour, 30 minute exercise. 1 hour for tafsir, 30 minutes questions and answer sessions. Number two, we appeal to the brothers and sisters to put off their cellular phones because they interfere with the recorded systems and it makes the output so poor, thereby making the blame to be on the recorders, and it is your own fault. I hope we are going to cooperate on that. Similarly, it is important to note, but when the Quran is being recited, we are expected to remain silent, because this is the teachings of the Quran. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the Quran is being rehearsed, is being recited, listen ye to it attentively and keep quiet so that you may earn Allah's mercy. There are other things having to do with arrangements. Maybe the brothers concerned should tell you that, how our conduct after the tafsir, those brothers that will come, we meet and start greetings, this is very good. But the host are to tell you how things are going to be conducted. I hope you get what I'm saying. Similarly, those brothers and sisters wishing to invite me as your guest for iftar, for a lecture, they should know any invitation should be strictly channeled through the mica. Don't face me with any invitation, because I am not going to entertain it. Because the brothers and sisters who have labored going to Kano to convince me to come down here, for example, to spend a lot hosting the program, they deserve the honor of being given this kind of chance. And you will reason with me, I believe. So please, any invitation should be channeled through Mica, not through me. Then they have to tell me, this is the invitation from so-so areas, and then we discuss and look at it. This is just part and the parcel of things to be mentioned before the commencement of tafsir. And maybe other things of relevance will come your way as the tafsir progresses. Asking Allah out of His infinite mercy to help us to make Quran our guide in this life, our comforter in our graves, and our light, torchbearer, that will lead us to Al-Firdaus Al-A'la, Yawm Al-Qiyamah, Yawm La Yanfa'u Malun Wala Banun, Illa Man Ata Allah Biqalbin Salim. With me, as you know, is brother Al-Hafiz Zakaria Bala Musa, with my brother as well, Muhammad Gambo, who accompany me, and my first aider, belonging to the mosque there in Kano, Saifuddin. We were together with them last year here. And alhamdulillah, we are here again. We hope you are going to spend nice and Allah pleasing sessions of Ramadan. Inshallah. We were in Al-Baqarah. We stopped in Al-Baqarah last year. Is that correct? And we have decided that we are going to start from the Hizb, from ayah 203. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. So I will leave Madam Zakaria to start reciting. فَلْيَقْرَأْ مَعْجُورًا مَشْكُورًا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واذكروا الله في أيام معدودات فمن تعجل في يومين فلا إثم عليه ومن تأخر فلا إثم عليه لمن اتقى. واتقوا الله واعلموا أنكم إليه تحشرون. ومن الناس من يعجبك قوله في الحياة الدنيا ويشهد الله على ما في قلبه وهو ألد الخصام. وإذا تولى سعى في الأرض ليفسد فيها ويهلك الحرث والنسل والله لا يحب الفساد.
These three verses of the Quran are taken from Surah 2, verses 203, 204, as well as 205. Allah, may He be exalted, says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. This is ayah 203 of Surah 2, Al-Baqarah. You know, it is characteristics of the Quran to name a surah after something mentioned across the surah. For example, Surah 2, Al-Baqarah is called Al-Baqarah because the expression Al-Baqarah is in Al-Quran, isn't it? In the same surah. Where? Where Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So the name Al-Baqarah is there. Surah Al-Kahf, the cave. The name Al-Kahf is also in the surah. Where? Can you tell me any place in the Quran where Al-Kahf is mentioned? Aha, is our feature to ilal kaf. Walabithu fi kafihim. Luqman. Like this. Any surah takes its name from something, an event that took place and it is mentioned. So Al-Baqarah is so called Al-Baqarah because the expression Al-Baqarah is there, as you have heard. And in ayah 2003, we have this. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. And celebrate the remembrance of your Lord. Because وَذْكُرُ is فِي الْأَمْرِ. It is a command. You, the Muslims, should remember Allah during appointed days. واذكر الله في أيام معدودات. طيب هناك أيام and هناك معدودات. أيام are the names and they are qualified. معدودات, this expression is the qualifier. It tells you the mentioning of Allah's name is not going to be done ceaselessly, continuously, without stopping. No, it is to be done on some appointed hours, some days. And it commences with the first day in the last 10 days, in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Layal in Ashar, terminating with the 13th of Dhul Hijjah as well. By the time the pilgrims reach the highest pinnacle, the summit of their activities, we dealt with this last year. Because the ayah is talking about Al-Hajj, and we all know pilgrimage is one of the fundamental pillars of Islam that are how many? 5. Now by the time a brother or a sister goes for Hajj, there are certain things to be done. When the pilgrims leave Arafah on the ninth day of what? On the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah, they go and camp and spend their night in Muzdalifah. On that very night, ninth day. The subsequent days marks the 10th days of what? The 10th day of Dhul Hijjah. Now on that day, it is called Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar. That marks the highest point of the Hajj activities. With everything done, then you go back and remain in Mina for Ayyam al-Tashriq. It is that event being referred to here. I just want to draw attention to that. It is that very event being referred to here. Allah says, وَذْكُرْ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Remember Allah during appointed days. فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. But if anyone quickens and hastens to leave in 2 days, there is no harm. There is no any reprimand. There is no any blame on him. Okay? But لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. If his aim is to do right thing. Now, we have to understand one thing here. A lot of people today, when they go on Hajj, they are very hasty. They are very quick. They want to leave. They want to leave. So when they go back to Mina, they spend only 2 days. On the third day, they depart and leave the station. They leave the camp. Quran says there is no blame on them. But if their intention is to do what is right. Now, in that case, if somebody leaves just because his own friends are leaving, just for that, you cannot tell me he is without blame. He is blameworthy and not blameless. Somebody leaves Mina just because you want to see a woman to discuss with her to finalize their discussion on marriage. The excuse is very, very flimsy. The excuse is not excusable anyway. So it's not among the liman ittaqa. Somebody hastens and leaves the camp, leaves Mina, because he wants to go to Babu Sharif market in Jeddah to make his own purchases. Still, the reason is a lame reason. It's a flimsy excuse. Let him leave for a sound reason. So Allah says there is no blame, but liman ittaqa. Then he says, wattaqullah, fear Allah, and know that you will surely be gathered unto him. That's the meaning. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. تُحْشَرُونَ is taken from Al-Hashar. Al-Hashar means assembling. It means gathering. It means congregating. It means coming together. It means flocking together. So the Day of Judgment is so-called because of its magnitudinal nature. Okay, it is an awe-inspiring day. It is called Yawm al-Hashr. It is called Yawm al-Qiyamah. It is called Yawm al-Taghabun. It is called Yawm al-Tadhalu Kullu Murda'atan Amma Arda'at. So Allah says, remember, you are going to be gathered unto Him one day. The meaning here is, if I know, if she knows, if they know that they are going to be gathered before Allah one day, then you'll mind your words, you mind your gazes, you mind your utterances, you mind your behavioral patterns, you mind the way you behave. Okay, you do things in such a way that they are pleasing, not annoying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ what? تُحْشَرُوا. Now it says وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. What is the meaning of التَّقْوَى? التَّقْوَى means keeping the dues of Allah and His don't. أَن تَجْعَلَ الْوِقَايَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. To try to have a demarcation between you and Allah's punishment by means of doing His dues and keeping away from His own dawn. That is a taqwa. Alright? If you maintain prayer 5 times a day, that is taqwa. You go on Hajj, you give sadaqah, you fast in the month of Ramadan. This is Ramadan anyway. We are in it. You try and know the meaning of fasting correctly. Because the ulama has said fasting simply means keeping away from something. That is the literal meaning. We are after a much deeper definition. Technically, it means keeping away from eating, from drinking, from sexual intercourse, from foul and obscene languages, from the dawn to the sunset, with the intention of serving Allah. That gives you the textual definition of fasting. You keep your duty to Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Next ayah.
مِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَقُولُ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, and there is the type of a man whose speech about this world's life may dazzle thee, may mesmerize you, may take your attention. Meaning, you may come across a man in this world that if he talks, oh no, he dazzles you, he magnetizes you, he mesmerizes you, because he has the power of oratory. He is the great orator, but he is a munafiq. Yeah. You see, somebody who doesn't believe in Allah has the ability to convince you on his own disbelief, and so on. Allah says, look, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Amongst men, there is someone that may dazzle you. He can charm you. He can outwit you. When he talks, you listen to him. That is why your beautiful statements, your power of speech is not what is important. That has to be matched by your deeds. Oh, I believe Allah is one and Muhammad is a prophet. I believe Quran is the last. That's this very beautiful words. Then we have to measure what you are saying to what you are doing. You claim to follow Allah, you are a drunkard. Then you are a liar, a capital liar. You claim to follow Muhammad, but you are a bid'atic personality. You don't even care to maintain the sunnatic methodology in everything. Your statements are nothing. Are you getting me? So So Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Concerning this world, he knows everything. وَيُشِيرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ. But he calls Allah to witness about what is in his heart. Yet, at the same time, وَهُوَ أَلَبُّ الْخِصَابِ. Yet he is the most contentious of enemies. When it comes to enmity, he is there. To tell you, don't allow beautiful words to take your attention away. Like I said earlier, try to measure everything done by people with their own deeds. Talking alone without action means nothing. Someone may come and start talking beautifully, but when it comes to enmity, he is the one fighting the deen of Allah, withholding his hand from assistance. He is even discouraging others from rendering their beautiful assistance to the deen of Allah. So a true believer should not be like this. May Allah preserve us. Next ayah.
وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ.
وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ. Now the subsequent ayah, ayah 205, gives you more detail concerning this kind of people. When they talk, you listen to them, but inwardly they are munafiqun. They are very contentious when it comes to enmity to Allah's religion. Not only that, this is what they do. Allah says, وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى. This kind of man, when he turns back, his aim everywhere is to spread mischief through the earth and destroy crops and progeny, but Allah loves not mischief on the earth. Al-Fasad in Quran is translated in English as mischief. Some translate it as corruption. Yeah. Like Allah says in Surah Ar-Rum, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُضِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Corruption has emerged on earth and in the river because of what people's hand have brought forth. It is also called mischief. So Allah doesn't want mischief to be committed, corruption to be perpetrated. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. And fasad or corruption is of two kinds. There is physical corruption, material or physical. There is also spiritual corruption. Which of the two forms of corruption is more dangerous? Spiritual. Why? Because if somebody is said to be spiritually mischievous, spiritually corrupt, you will see different signs of his own, you will see the manifestative features of his own corruption. He fears no Allah. He goes to Marabu. He goes to a concoctor, a fortune teller, a black magic practitioner. He commits zina. He can steal. He can go to Marabus telling them lies. It's because he is spiritually decayed. Then that can be also seen in his own day-to-day activities. If he is entrusted with anything in terms of public properties, he takes away, he steals. Look at what has happened just this year. Yeah, I should have said it during my introductory remarks, but there is relevance here. We are told that election took place in Nigeria. Election took place. Isn't it a shameful thing? What has happened? Elections or selections? You call it general elections. But I want to submit they are general selections. Because of what? Because of the inordinate need to rule. I have to rule at all cost. It is a do or die affair. They said it. Because fear of Allah is not there. That is the spiritual al-fasad, corruption, which has given birth to material corruption. It manifests itself, or manifested itself, by the inordinate need to perpetuate oneself in power. You go on falsifying the results, coercing people, killing, maiming, disturbing, humiliating, employing all powers that may be at your disposal. All you need is to rule, period. It is corruption. In the house of Islam, our pious predecessors used to go away from even ruling. You read the story of this Sahabi that was invited by Umar ibn al-Khattab, Sa'id ibn Amr al-Jumahi radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu said to him, "Oh yes, Sa'id ibn Amr, come on, I want to assign the office of governorship to you to go and represent the Islamic Caliphate in Hims. Hims, an area in Sham." Sa'id ibn Amr entered his house crying. He said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Am I the one to be given gubernatorial office or governorship office? I am not fit for that. He was speaking to Umar, "Please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Don't give me this office, because I know myself, I cannot live up to the expectation." Because spiritually they were okay, but to this spiritually, Allahul Musta'an. He refused it, and Umar insisted, "Who are you? You've asked me to lead, to be a Khalifa, and you want to shy away from me without assistance? Wallahi billah, you have to be the governor." They have been given, but they are running away. Today, the officers are running away, and we are following them. Fastly, we are telling them a lie, we will catch you. So because of this, they go on killing, maiming, stealing votes, threatening, even stealing people's mandate. And they want at the same time to maintain the charisma of reputable leaders. And the people are taking them, yes, as their respective leaders. Okay? You see? This is an irony. It's ironical. I have deemed it fit to say something on this because of what happened this year, 2007. That's why in the lecture I presented, ESCC's lecture, last 3 weeks or 4 weeks thereabouts, they invited me to talk on corruption, the Islamic perspective. I explained to them that, look, the way Islam looks at corruption is by far much wider than the conventional conceptualization of corruption. You tend to look at corruption narrowly. We are even operating a constitution that supports corruption. Yeah, because it is a constitution that tends to support legality and not morality. I said it all. Legality, because this is one governor, one office holder, stealing people's property, and yet he has the clause of constitutional immunity shielding him away. That is legality. Legally, he is shielded. But morally, where is he? Constitution supporting legality to the detriment of morality. We are in a hot soup. When Allah is saying, Wallahu la yuhibbul fasad, Allah doesn't want al-fasad, corruption. Are we not condoning corruption? We are. And we told him, I told him, I said, look, EFCC, you should be leniently soft and harshly stern, depending on circumstances, when I came to my piece of advice. And then I said, try to avoid being discriminatory in your justice. Don't give the chances whereby people will be looking at you as being selective in your justice. You're fighting of corruption, very good, we support you all, but don't be selective and don't be discriminatory. The Hassaman has what he calls Hababa and Hakarami. When Hababa has committed and you keep away your eyes from him, and Hakarami is languishing behind the bar, what are you doing? We call this selective justice. That is also a corruption in its own self. So it happened this year. You see what is happening. Corruption makes people just to be gone after this war. Okay? It is also part of corruption not to pray on time, spiritually. It is part of corruption. You as a common man, to waste your time applauding a political misfit. You know how he came to the office. And you are there lining in their own house, waiting for their naira to be dished onto you. It's part of corruption. It's part of corruption for ulama to keep quiet. You go and speak the truth to them. You don't have to be abusive. No. Islam is against that. But preach sense to them. Okay, now you have this power. Whether legitimately or otherwise, what is important, the power now is your own. Use it in such a way that is going to please Allah. That is the role of our ulama. If you keep quiet because you are waiting for the sacrificial lamb to be given to you during Eid al-Kabir, the Ragola is there waiting for you, or you are waiting for your own seat ticket to Mecca, you are afraid of speaking the truth because you are going to be denied the seat for Umrah. I said, this is the nasty instances, or these are nasty instances of corruption and corrupt practices. So the ayah says, Wallahu la yuhibbu al-fasad. Allah doesn't want al-fasad. It is not a fasad what happened this year. The first instance of blue film in Hausa land. La ilaha illallah. Somebody, a student, phoned me from Singapore last 2 weeks telling me that now it has been circulated on the internet. That's Bluefin. And they have been saying, congratulations House of Fulani for your Sharia implementation. That is the Sharia. Out of all places in Kano. La ilaha illallah. Not only that, they are even calling their film industry in Kano as Kennywood. It's another instance of corruption. What is Kennywood? Trying to imitate Hollywood, imitating Bollywood in India and Nollywood in Nigeria. They call it Kennywood. Maybe they are likely going to say Kadiwood, meaning Kaduna Wood, one day. This wood syndrome, what does it mean? That's why I have composed some poems in Arabic. Maybe I'll read it during Hausa's tafsir concerning these filmmakers who have started to be degenerating morally. degenerating to zero level point of morality. In the poems, I said saying, Ya ahla aflami huwaisi tamahalu innal hayata mali'atum bimazaliqi. I will read them when the Hausa version of Tafsir comes. What we are saying at this juncture, we want to make connection between this ayah 205 to the occurrences that took place this very year. The ayah finally says, Wallahu la yuhibbul fasad. Make progress.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فَهَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادُ.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادُ. This is ayah 206. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, he is led by arrogance to more crime. Subhanallah. Fear Allah. This kind of man. He claims to be wise. He gives his own mouth to Islam, but his heart is against the deen. When he is reminded, when he is told to fear Allah, instead of coming to term with the expression, he is led by arrogance to more crime. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِسْمِ. So Allah says, فَحَبُّهُ جَهَنَّمُ. Enough for him is the hellfire and evil bait indeed to lie on. Because when somebody tells you, my brother, fear Allah, you don't come to mosque, your wife goes out without cover, your daughters, for example, don't pray on time, your son, you know, associate with bad group, please, I am advising you to fear Allah. You should not feel so pompous or arrogant. Why should this be said to you? Try to obey Allah. Try to remember that beautiful things are being said to you. That is what will save you in the eyes of Allah. Otherwise, this expression, this ayah, becomes a reality on you. وَإِذَا قِلَ وَتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخْرَضُ إِذْتُ الْإِثْمِ فَحَظُّهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَبِيْسَ الْمِحَادِ. Make progress.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ.
Now this is another instance. Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And there is the type of man who gives his life to earn the pleasure of Allah. The first instance was like that. The second instance is a man who dedicated his life continuously to earning Allah's pleasure. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Attending prayers congregationally, going on Hajj, giving zakat, showing mercy, kindness to the weak ones, going to seek for knowledge, respecting elders, obeying laws and orders that do not contravene Allah's laws and orders. Okay? Showing, becoming so humble, not showing some kind of arrogance because of what he has, because of wealth, because of knowledge, because of his own royal blood, and on and on. His life is dedicated to serving Allah and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, وَاللَّهُ رَوْفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah is full of kindness to his own devotees. Next ayah.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dukhulu fi salmi kaffatan wa la tattabi'u khutwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin.
This is, you know, a kind of a call by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a call not only to the Iman has three branches. You have to believe there, inwardly, in your heart. That's branch number one. Number two, it has to be uttered verbally. Verse number three, or manifestation three, if you like it, it has to be translated into practical realities by your do's or your by your deeds. Now, we give example. Somebody says, well, I believe fasting is a wajib order. Fasting in the month of Ramadan, I believe, is obligatory upon true believers. I believe in my heart, but I am not going to do it. You see a mu'min? You see a believer? Can he be any longer under ya alladhina amanu? Abadan. Now somebody fasts in the month of Ramadan, but he tells you what? I am doing it just because I have seen the Muslim doing it. I am doing it in solidarity with the Muslim Ummah, not because I believe in it. Is he a believer? No. So Iman has to be characterized by these three parts. أن يستقر الإيمان في القلب وأن ينطق به اللسان وأن يستعمله الأركان. أن تستعمله الأركان. So with this you are qualified to be in this call by Allah. He becomes on to us. يا أيها الذين آمنوا. All who believe. Now the Sahabi Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه said, إذا سمعت الله يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا فإن ربك وخالقك ومولاك يناديك ولا يناديك إلا لأحد الأمرين إما لأمرك فأتمر وإما لينهاك فانتهي. Whenever Allah says يا الذين آمنوا, you are creator, you are nourisher, you are cherisher, you are sustainer, is calling you, and he calls you for either one of two things: either to command you and be commanded, or to stop you from doing something and stop. Okay? You see, when you observe يا الذين آمنوا carefully, it is either a negative or positive one. Positive, he commands you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم. Is it positive or negative? Positive. Because it asks you to do something. Negatively, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله اتقوا الله. لا تقدموا الدم. It is negative. So it's either do or don't. Whenever you have يا أيها الذين آمنوا, it cannot be more than one of these two alternatives. What do we have here? Positive or negative? Positive. Because of the absence of la. Ya alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. All you who believe, enter into Islam. That is a silm there. Kaffa. Completely. Wholeheartedly. Don't say, okay, from morning to full time, I agree to be a true Muslim. But from Dhuhr to Maghrib, I'm a communist, or a free thinker, or agnostic. What are you telling me? Allah says, either Islam totally or Kufr totally. There's no any middle course. ليس هناك المنزلة بين المنزل كما تقول المعتزلة. Either Iman or Kufr. That's why it surprises me to hear some Muslim couples claiming to be socialist republic. What do you mean? You cannot be a Muslim and simultaneously claim to be a true Muslim. It's not possible. You cannot claim to be a believer in democracy and a believer in Islam. It's not possible. Don't deceive yourself. Allah says, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. But you're telling me, I believe in democracy as the only alternative, as the only remedy, as the only panacea for our problems. What about your deen? What about your Quran? What about Prophet? What about the teachings of the Sharia? Am lahum shuraka, shara'u lahum in a deen ma la yadhihi Allah? Do they have friends who legislate, who legalize for them things not given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the ayah is very clear. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan. And don't follow the footsteps of Satan. That is the meaning of what I tell you, khutwat al-shaytan. Khutwat, footsteps. Okay? Innahu lakum adu mubin. For he is to you an avowed enemy. Who is that? Satan. What is the name of Satan? Iblis. Satan is a title given to him. He is not the only Satan. Anybody, whether man or jinn, that does what Satan is doing becomes Satan as well. Yeah. Your human friends that ask you to go to brothel to meet the prostitute becomes your Satan. Yeah. Your master in a working place that asks you to delay prayers, all right, to pray very, very late, and you obey him, becomes your Satan. Your child that you are afraid to even reprimand him for doing bad things because he gives you something, now you are old, he becomes your tawhut, your Satan. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. That is why the ulama of the Jews are also called الشياطين. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا
الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين من بابل هاروت وماروت.
That's all. As an example, Allah says, واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا. الشياطين علماء اليهود, هم من بني آدم. واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان. And the Jewish nation followed what the Satans have been reading, have been accounting concerning the Solomonic dominion, telling lies. Here, the scholars are referred to here as shayateen. Is that clear? So try to avoid being Satan. But Iblis originally was jinni, isn't it? Was jinni? Innahu min al-jinn. إلا إبليس كان من الجن ففسق عن أمر ربه أفتتخذونه وذريته أولياء من دوني وهم لكم أولياء بئس للظالمين بدلا. So Satan or Iblis was jinni originally. Jinn and man, we are once called الثقلان. يا معشر الجن والإنس سنفرغ لكم أيها الثقلين, أيها الثقلان, the two heavy ones. So now Allah says, all you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. Now you see, my brother, NYSC member in southern part of Nigeria, trying to take a rest from his being a true Muslim. Allah says, enter Islam wholeheartedly. What I mean, you see him socializing, following girls, drinking alcohol, because he's no longer in Kano, no longer in Kaduna, in Sokoto. Now he is now free. He feels Islam should be suspended. Astaghfirullah. We remind you, mark you, Allah says, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter Islam totally. Totally, geographically, as well as, if you like it, timely. Anytime, be a Muslim. Anywhere, be a true Muslim. But what happens? You see a Muslim brother or sister when they gain admission into universities, you see her suspending the hijab. Because now it is now an academic area. We have an academic freedom. Satan has whispered into their own hearts. It is by maintaining your Islam you can earn honor, even in the eyes of the unbelievers. Yes. What about the people who are ready to carry cartons of alcohol on their own shoulders because of the money they are likely to realize? So we should understand the message. And Islam, as we keep on saying, is the only religion. I don't even want to call Islam a religion, because religion, according to the Western mind, is something personal between you and your creator. But Islam is more than being personal. Everything you do, that's number one. Number two, the name Islam is given by Allah himself. Unlike other religions, the names are taken from their own what? Concoctors, if you like it. They are manufacturers. But Islam, Allah says, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Okay. But other religions, the names are taken either by the name of the founders, or by geographical realities, okay, or by tribal chauvinism. That's why they want to call Islam Muhammadanism. He said, no, you are dead wrong. Islam is not, should not, and cannot be called Muhammadanism. It is Islam, simple. And it is the religion preached by the Prophet of the old, from Adam to Muhammad. Jesus included, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Moses included. They preach nothing but Islam. But you see, human fantasies, human innovative nature, concoction, addition, subtraction. Okay, they change God's books to fit their whims and caprices. So Allah says, enter this deen wholeheartedly, and don't follow the footsteps of the Satan, because he is to you an avowed enemy. Make progress.
فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ
فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ فَإِنْ زَلَلْتُمْ If you backslide, after all things you have heard, the Quran came to you, the Prophet came to you, the ulama have explained to you everything, the truth is very clear, yet zalaltum, you've decided to backslide, to go back from the right way. So if you backslide after the clear signs have come to you, then you should know Allah is exalted in power. Aziz, exalted, hakim, wise. I don't know, it seems going to rain. What do you say? Do we suspend it or we just continue? I continue. Make progress.
هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة وقضي الأمر وإلى الله ترجع الأمور
هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام Allah says in this ayah 2:10 هل ينظرون What are people waiting for? What are the creators waiting for? They are only waiting for Allah to come to them in canopies of clouds. في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة Okay? وقود الأمر People are only waiting for a day when Allah will come in the clouds, such a coming that befits His own majestic power, with the angels for decision making, for final determination. That is going to be on which day? On which day? Yawm al-Qiyamah. That is what we are waiting for. But if you turn away, you backslide, after the truth has been made clear to you, wait. هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلم من الغرام والملائكة وقضي الأمر. Allah will come on that day, mark you. According to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when Allah says Allah will come, say it in that way. Say it in the way it is mentioned. It is a kind of a coming that befits, that suits his own majestic power. Don't say, oh, is not Allah coming? It is own power coming. No. Don't mutilate. Don't change. Don't substitute. Allah is going to come. Like how you say Allahu Allah. Just like Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayh, Imam came to him in the Prophet's mosque in Medina one day. He said, Ya Malik, Ar-Rahman, ala al-Arsh istawa, kayf istawa? Allah the most beneficent becomes al-Mustawi, ala al-Arsh. He is seated, settled, comforted on the throne. How? Malik looked at him angrily. He said to him, Al-Istiwa'u Ma'lum Wal-Kayf Majhul Wal-Imanu Bihi Wajib Was-Su'alu Anhu Bid'ah Akhrijuhu Fa'innahu Min Al-Bid'iyyin. Take him away. He's one of the innovative minds. So Shaykhuna Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah said, if any Sunni scholar were to employ this method of Malik, he will have been branded as too harsh. He's not employing hikmah. Because the people of nowadays, they know hikmah in every way. When Islam comes, they say, okay, hikmah, hikmah, hikmah. Even obeying Allah says, you have to employ hikmah. Wearing hijab, please try and make your hijab to look like the one with hikmah. Even the beard, there is beard for those with hikmah. What do you want to say? Are we more knowledgeable, more God-fearing than the pious predecessors? We want to mutilate our Islam just to carry favor, just to please every Tom, Dick and Harry. They don't have control of their own breathing system. They can do nothing. And you want to follow their own designs. This is a mark of disobedience to Allah. Now again, people are not waiting for anything but that very day when Allah will come. See, Zulul Amin al-Ghamam in the canopies of clouds with the angels in his train and the question in that settled. And wa ila Allah what? Tujal umur. And it is to Allah that everything goes back. The subsequent ayah says what?
فَالْبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَمْ آتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ بَيِّنَةٍ وَمَنْ يُبَدِّلْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ.
I think this is a very important junction. We can stop because the timekeeper just told me it's already time, and we want to be time conscious this time around. Especially the brothers recording have complained that at times there is a kind of a lack of a consistency concerning timing. So we want to maintain 90 minute sessions, inshallah. 60 minutes for tafsir, like I said earlier, and 30 minutes for what? Qasul Asis. So I think this is an appropriate area. It's a good section. I think we have to stop there. By Allah's grace, we make progress tomorrow. نسأل الله رب العالمين أن يسرنا وإياكم جميعا ويعز الإسلام والمسلمين ويذل الشرك والمشركين إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. Then we go on to question and answer sessions.
Assalamu alaikum. Ya Sheikh, we are students of knowledge. We love the people of knowledge. What lessons do we learn from the life of our eminent, renowned, notable, and noble scholars, Sheikh Ja'far, his methodology of da'wah, and finally his shahada? May Allah please his nur and favor, and favor us with such valuable death. That is the first question.
This is an important question and very relevant concerning lessons to be learned. It's not a time here to tell you this. It's better you go to the lectures conducted or said concerning the life of the deceased scholar. You listen well and you try to implement such. That's number one. A brother from Lupe lands sent me a manuscript of a book he wrote concerning Sheikh Ja'far after his death. The book right now is with me in Arabic. Beautiful writing. In fact, it captured my attention. The eloquence of the Arabic the brother wrote. So he sent to me to go through for corrections, for finally to publish. It contains the life history of Ja'far from beginning to end. And I'm doing my best to put the finishing touches before it is printed. Maybe when it comes out, you lay a hand on it, you are going to learn a lot concerning the life style of the brother that died. I have also poems I have composed on his own death. It contains 22 stanzas. I'll read it for you. I will print it out on my computer and distribute for you to have it. It's very important. I said it, its beginning, I call it Dumu'un ala Shaheed al-Mihrab. Dumu'un ala Shaheed al-Mihrab. Tears shed on the matar in the mosque. It's very important to have it, plus the one I have written concerning the Hausa film makers. So in short, this is what I have to say concerning this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to take our lives in the way Allah wants.
In relation to that, Malahi said, what effort is put in place in the investigation of this great tragedy?
To my understanding,
to avoid future reoccurrence.
To my understanding, this is not the time, it's not the place for this kind of questions. Yeah, it has its own place. But since you're asked, I want to tell you, things are going on. No stone is left unturned in trying to unravel the mess mystery behind the coward assassinators of Ja'far Mahmud Adam, alayhi rahmatullah. I know the difficulty we're assessing is that it's just like somebody that came and just gave you a hitting. Before it was said, he disappeared. From where did we come, we don't know. So you are only led to suspicion. I think this A or B is a prime suspect. Unlike the issue what happened in Sokoto, the assassinators are known, they are apprehended, and they were treated instantly the way they deserved it. And you know what happened to them in Sokoto? Okay, they are the Shias. But concerning Colonel's episode, you cannot say this is the right dumb person. That's why Colonel will say, we exonerate nobody and we blame nobody. We are still on the course. Help us with prayer. Sooner or later, the mystery is going to be unraveled. And Allah is going to be on our side. Yes.
Could you briefly tell the Islamic stand on astrology, and what advice could you say on acquiring knowledge?
Astrology, unlike astronomy, to my understanding, is the science or is the knowledge that claims to establish relations between celestial and terrestrial bodies, or celestial bodies, their implications or their meanings are established on the lifestyle of human beings. On a clearer note, astrology is a kind of a field that tries to tell you so-so star or sun has a bearing on your life. You are going to be blessed. You are going to be rich. you are going to graduate with flying colors. You are going to marry A and B and C, courtesy of your own star. This is astrology. In short, acquiring this knowledge is haram. And the doers are not Muslims. You should not be. In fact, a believer in astrology cannot be a Muslim. There is a difference between astrology and astronomy. The former is haram and the latter can be acquired based on one's planet. Allahu a'lam.
Yes, sir. Football, teams and programs on telly has become talk of the day in our society to an extent that malams, imams are involved in it. Please make it a daily remembrance in your tafsir. The Jews conspiracy behind all this.
Will you come again?
That, you, I mean, football, teams and programs on telly has become talk of the day or order of the day in our society to an extent that scholars and malams, imams are involved. He is requesting that you should please make it a daily remembrance.
May I ask him to shed more light on the extent of the imam's involvement? In what way? How? I want to know. Films, football, etc., etc., have now become order of the day. To such an extent, even the imams, malams, are even involved in it. So I want to know the nature of their involvement. Are they also participating as film actors, as imams? Are they going out to give people fatwa? These things are lawful, legitimate, Quranic, Sunnitic, acceptable? So you have to explain to me the extent, the nature of their involvement to shed more light. I don't know if Malik Mekuni has an answer to that. Shedding more light on the nature, the extent, the volume, the magnitude of their involvement.
I think it may be to the extent that the scholars are involved. Anytime football is discussed, you hear scholars contributing, that guy is playing well, that, you understand?
That's good. Really, for a scholar to be hailing a football star or any club, local, national, continental, global, or whatever, to my understanding, is an ugly misrepresentation on the part of such a scholar. What business has a scholar got to do with saying, that guy has played well? You say, I'm forward, man, forward. Is this your business? Are you not by doing this giving interest to those who have given their life to football? They are called football fans. To my understanding, football, the way it is done today, the way it is done is un-Islamic. Any denial? Okay, you agree. Right. In case there is any doubt in Thomas saying, but Mala, how can you make this sweeping generalization? I ask him or her, the way the conventional football professional is done today, is it possible for the stadium to have an area exclusively for men and for women? You say no. What does our Islam say? Then concern on that. That's number one. Number two, is it possible for the football to take place? And Al-Muwazzin says, As-salatu khayrun min kuratil qadam. Prayer is better than the football, and we leave the field and go and pray. Is it what is done today? I believe any scholar to prayer doing this will be called a madman. I mean by this. Similarly, the amount of money spent in football has reached such a crescendo that a lot of people now are even leaving studies to go and become football stars to earn money. For this and other relevant reasons, it not befitting a true Muslim, listening to time, watching football, or becoming a fan, or even having anything to do with it. Talk less of an ali, a model, a scholar, a symbol of piety, a symbol of Allah's consciousness, or Allah's consciousness. He is the one saying, Kai, that boy has led well. From my understanding, this is a serious situation. It is a lamentable situation. And I agree, from time to time, I shall be drawing attention to that as you have advised, and may Allah help us. Now,
the last question here, I don't know where this person had you gave a lecture, that in your lecture last Sunday, you promised to share a particular story.
I what?
That you promised to share a particular story and that you are going to do something to photocopy. It is not very clear anyway. And I don't want to mention names that you mentioned here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I am in a fix as to what you really mean. I know I was in Kaduna last 2 weeks to participate in a dawa organized by HIA IIRO here in Kaduna. I presented 3 papers. In English and in Arabic, and I know when I was talking about morality, I wrote the poems I composed. It's there in my system, and I said I'm going to print it out for distribution. But I don't know of the story you're talking about. All I know is there, maybe Micah, you bring me your flash memory to take it, drive, to take it and go on. Have it downloaded and then they print it for them to have it. Concerning Sheikh Jaffer's death, it's Marcia, 22 stanzas, and concerning the House of Filmmakers, what they have done recently. Yes.
اللهم
أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعف الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك الموحدين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين.